Welcome to Rule Breakers for Gender Equality. My name is Nancy Polian, and I'm on a mission to make the top of the business world more diverse and inclusive. Because to me, rule breaking is all about taking a risk. The risk to be yourself and to create your own career path. In 2021, there were more CEOs named Peter than women CEOs in the Netherlands. This is one of the rules that I want to break. Let's see which business leader is breaking the rules today. So I'm super enthusiastic today because I'm talking to Jurissa Neutelings again. And we spoke, I think, about 6 months ago for International Women's Day in not such a professional studio as we're sitting in right now. But we're going to talk about some other things that we spoke about back then. I want to hear more about you and who you are as a leader and what we can teach women about your lessons learned. So, Jurissa, I'm Surinamese. That's my background. And the first thing that we always want to know is who's your father and who's your mother. So tell me a little bit about your background and where you're from.
Okay, yeah, very good. Well, I think if you deep dive in my ancestors, I think it's a marriage between the French and the Germans, which is already quite challenging.
Quite rule-breaking.
Yeah, definitely. But my father is from Maastricht, so that's actually the real south-south of the Netherlands. And my mother is from Brabant, and they met because my father worked in the family company Liga from those biscuits.
And we've all had them.
Yes.
So we still have them.
I'm called a Liga baby, as I was born into the Liga family, and then you get a lot of Liga products. So, but then again, I only grew to 1.60 meters, so I don't know if Liga works that well.
But it's the perfect biscuits because I've got six nephews and they all loved it. Yeah. I think kids still love it.
Yeah, definitely. And I still have evergreens in my closet, but it's not from the family anymore. It was sold long, long time ago. But he was placed in Brabant to set up the IT department back in the 50s, or the last era. So there was no personal computer yet. And he met my mother. She lost her shoe, literally, at the streets, and he picked it up. And there,
I don't think your mom lost her shoe. She probably did that on purpose to get your dad to pick it up.
She never admitted it, but I'm thinking the same as you do. Yeah.
Isn't that like a trick women used to do in the 1900s and the 1800s? They would drop their handkerchiefs or their gloves so the men would pick it up and they'd be like the damsel in distress or something like that.
Yes, I think so. And the fun thing is that my mother's name is Schoenmaker, so shoemaker in English. So I don't know. There is something there.
Yeah. That's a nice trick she used. I'm going to try that one if I see a cute guy. But that's a nice story that they have. For some reason, I think you've got a lot of those great, amazing stories.
Well, let's see if you can get them out of me.
What do you think was the biggest thing that you got from your upbringing that you're still using in your current work?
Work hard to really reach for your goals. And it's normal for women and men to work. So my mother used to work as well.
What did she do?
She is a teacher in primary school, and she did so until the age of 68.
Wow.
And she really had a heart for education. So it was not that she had to work, but she wanted to work. And I think my mother was the most well-organized woman you can meet. So simple hints like buy a lot of gifts on beforehand. So when there's a birthday from your kids, they have a present. She was the first one to have a freezer, a microwave, a dryer for your clothes. Anything to make life easier, because it was still quite old-fashioned. My father couldn't even cook an egg. So my mother was and working and doing everything in the household. And she still, on the day of today, she's jealous because with my husband, we have a very shared
household. It's
very equal. In fact, maybe not even equal anymore.
He does more than I.
Yeah, but you know, those are the choices you make, you know, bringing up kids and looking in what is your ambition, what is my ambition, how to combine that with a family life.
Do you think your mom was your role model because she kept on working?
Oh, most definitely, because she was one of the few mothers in Brabant who worked. And actually, when I got kids, it was still sort of, are you working full time?
It was still frowned upon.
Definitely. And my mother always supported me. And she said, you know, there are more people that can bring up your children. And you have a husband, you share it. So whatever happens, you know, you feel at ease with your choices. And she was very supportive of daycare and all the stuff she didn't have while we were growing up.
I love that she said there are many people that can, you know, support your kids, because there's a great African saying that I believe in. It takes a village to raise a child. Because to me, that is not about just people raising your child. It's about your child being prepared for society. And if your child only has to do with you, then they don't know how other people think, right? So it's not just aunties and uncles who are saying something, you know, that old school way, that old kind of fashion way. I really believe that we are preparing people to be citizens of society.
Oh, fully with you. And maybe the village in your saying is now daycare, somebody else who takes care of the kids at home.
The play dates they might have. Or
yeah, and I think it's all about having the right network and, you know, being bold enough to ask for help. And I think that's something that we found quite difficult. And we have this idea in the Netherlands that the mother, and only the mother, is the one who can actually bring up the children. Where at daycare, they actually have an education.
Yeah.
You know, and every mother, yeah, doesn't have an education. So I think it's so true, that African saying. Yeah.
So I love what you're saying about your mum, because she, you know, when she leaned into and embraced kind of new ways of being efficient, like having a fridge or even a dryer, and then also new ways in supporting, you know, the family or raising your kids, like putting them in daycare and stuff like that. That's, you know, always thinking out of the box, always figuring out or maybe embracing new ways. You're leading a team of 1,100 people. What do you think is, you know, from what you're doing now, what do you think is that one new thing that you, because you've been with the company for a year, right?
Yeah, almost a year now.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
What do you think that new thing is that you're bringing?
Wow. Coming in to the company, I had many, many interviews. And mostly about new.
Before they gave you the job?
Before they got me that far that I wanted to commit to coming over to ABN AMRO.
But oh, wow, also, they had to convince you.
Yes, of course, because they asked me to apply and I wasn't looking around yet at that time. But you know how it goes. If you're 5 years with a company, you're thinking, okay, what's the next thing? And so I was open to the conversation, but not coming from a bank. And ABN AMRO didn't have that most innovative ring anymore to it. I really wanted to see, what can I do here? And I
like
feel...
Like the impact that you can make.
Exactly, exactly. So what is the challenge? Because you come in to actually do something.
Yeah,
and
you
create
want to leave
something.
An impact. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think maybe the most important thing, not looking at the digital... trade is trust-based leadership. Because, you know, we were talking about my mother and my kids. It takes trust to really hand over your young child to somebody else you don't know yet and take care of that. And I think trust-based leadership is all about granting people the responsibility and a job maybe a bit bigger than they anticipated, and really show them that they can do so much more than they did before, and really support them, educate them. It's not about me. This department is not about me. I think I'm the first person that they can miss.
Really?
That's the person I want to be. Because leadership is also prepping your team to do the job without you. I'm fully committed to that. Within a couple of years, they should say, okay, Yarissa, we know now. You know, we have it all set. You can leave now. Because, and it's also about bringing up kids. You know, you're prepping them to leave you.
For the future. You're making them future-proof.
Exactly.
So I love what you're saying. Two things. First of all, because last year at one of my events, Petra de Ruiter, who used to be the CEO of Transavia, did and said the same thing.
Oh, really?
Because when Corona broke out in 2020, instead of her calling everybody like, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, the only question she asked her team as the CEO of Transavia Airlines was, how can I help? And for some persons, it meant going to the Albert Heijn and getting groceries. And for the other, it was picking up their child. And she just went, she was like, I'm going to let you do your job and I'm just going to help. And people were like, what? Is the COO actually bringing me? You know, they were surprised. But she said, I trusted my people, the trust thing that you're talking about,
yeah,
that they could do their jobs. So I trained them for that. This is what we worked for. This is what we worked towards.
Yeah.
So that whole future-proof thing is really interesting, the way that you're explaining it, that they should be able to manage without you,
yeah,
right? They're like kids. And then the other thing that you said that really caught my attention is they had to woo you to get this job. And if we look at female leaders and we look at the way, because this is always something that we put in a negative perspective, like women always say no when you offer them a job, or they think they're underqualified, or they won't apply for jobs until they meet 100% of the hiring criteria. What if we flip the script and say, well, actually, it's quite good that women are that way, right? That they're completely the opposite from men. Because that means by the time that she gets that role, she's going to rock it because she knows exactly what value she's bringing it. So we could switch it around instead of looking at it. You know, we've been, me myself, I've been talking about it like, why are women accepting these jobs that are being offered to them? But now I'm like, the way that you're just explaining it to me, Yarissa, is we could look at it from that perspective that it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that way it doesn't feel as an application, because they called me and said, oh, would you be interested to come over to have a talk about this and this role? I said, well, we can always talk. And only after 3 months of interviews, one of the Expo members said to me, oh, you have way more experience in IT than the other two candidates. And I was like, candidates? Am I applying? And then I felt competition and I thought, okay, now I need to step up. It was quite fun. But it helps because you can, it's sort of like matchmaking. And if we play the underdog, or we think, oh, we are high because we are a woman. No, it's more like I've got these qualifications and is there a match or not? It's really a different way of looking at things. And I think I always have done things differently. A good example is when before we got our first kid, I said to my husband, you know, I have this ambition. So kids or no kids, I want to commit to this ambition. And so I said, how will we do it? How will we share our responsibilities? And he was working in a company which was quite old-fashioned in property management, and the only women working there were secretaries.
So it was a very male-dominated environment.
Definitely. And he said, I can't work less than 5 days. I said, so you will be the first then. Okay, so that was challenging, but I said, okay, currently I'm in a job I can do 5 days in four. So we said, okay, the first 5 years, because we said we want to work 9 days. That's something that we had agreed on. So I said, okay, the first 5 years, I will work 4 days, you will work 5 days, and after 5 years, we will swap that around. But then again, in that phase, I saw a really great new job. And it explicitly said full time. But I wanted that job. So I had the interviews and they said, oh, you're really fit for the job. I said, I know. And I'm so fit for the job that I can
do it in 4 days.
In 4 days. Oh, Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's okay. So instead of saying, oh, I can't apply because this job is, and I said to my husband, I said, you know, give it to me. And later on, I met...
Ask for what you want is what you're saying.
Exactly. And later on, the CEO said to me, oh, Yarissa, you're working less days. I said, yeah, but it's really strange, yeah, because I have 100% targets. And I said, I think I should be paid for the whole lot. And he said, I'm with you. So we changed it. It was quite fun. I was working 4 days, but receiving full salary and a full bonus. So
you
I think,
really are a rule breaker.
Yeah, but it's sometimes a bit bold and believe in yourself.
That's what rule breaking is about, that self-belief, that self-consciousness, that you know your worth, right?
Yeah, but it's also about accepting the no. So are you willing
to leave the table?
Yes. And get the answer, no, we can't do that. All right, fine.
The reason is, I love that you're saying, because if you're ready to leave the table, then you really know your worth.
Exactly.
It's like with any relationship, even romantic relationships, right? You stick around because you don't know your worth. You're so angry or you're so scared of losing it. But when that goes away and you're just like confident about it, then that other person feels that too. Because it's the confidence of being willing to leave the table that they don't want to risk, because they don't want to risk losing you.
Exactly. And my first job was in sales. And there I learned you have to be willing to, that you don't settle on the contract. So I always thought about what is my minimum and what is I'm aiming at and what is important for you.
Are you talking about salary here?
When I was in sales, you know, you had to gain contracts.
So what's the minimum you wanted to
You had to acquire contract, and yeah. then you knew upfront what you were willing to give in and what your minimum was. And it really helped me to also do the same for myself. And I saw myself not as Yarissa, but as a company, because it made it easier to be more business-minded about everything.
Have you ever been treated differently because you're a woman?
Oh,
and
yes,
you're a blonde woman with blue eyes?
Of course, and I'm small and I've got freckles and I've got wild long hair. And so anything that doesn't represent the imagery people still draw if they
see a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, is still a man, long and white. So yes, I'm the total opposite. And we had a lot of fun, by the way. So sometimes your weakness can be your strength. So being at a vendor's table, and you are with team mates who are male, and they just, you know, receive you, and they didn't really see who was the one who was deciding, and then
they didn't realize you were the boss.
Exactly. So really looking into how will this be followed up. And then they did their sales pitch and they said, okay, Dolph, what do you think? Do we have a deal? And because the whole acquisition was based on Dolph and the male team members, because they thought that's the boss, then he looked at me and said, Yarissa, what do you think? You are the boss. And we had so much fun. And I said, yeah, what do you think? I'm going to say no, because you don't even know us. How should you be able to help our customer? So sometimes making it into a bit of fun, because it's really actually quite sad that they think that my male colleague is the boss. And there have been many examples.
But that's really unconscious bias.
It is. It is. But you know, you shouldn't grow sour on it. Because being a female, you can actually sometimes enlighten the table you're at, and by saying certain things a male could never say. So make a bit of fun. If there's, I had my own company and I had to advise a lot of boards, and most boards were only male. And they were quarreling at the table and, you know, just constantly a sort of male's culture. Like, you know, we can do this. No, that's not a good idea. I want to do this. And being a woman at the table, you could actually really be the one to saying, you know, okay, guys, just get it out and then let's have this conversation in a normal way. So sometimes you can turn stuff and situations around being the person that you are. So I try to make my weaknesses into unexpected strengths. I think that's the thing you can do. What do you have? We all have qualities. If you think, yeah, I'm small, I'm weak, I have freckles, you know, people don't take me seriously. Okay.
So switch them around.
Yeah, make the so-called weaknesses into strengths. And I don't think they're weaknesses, by the way.
But you talked about not being sour. I did get sour sometimes because I felt I had to work twice as hard to prove myself and my worth. So it did make me sour sometimes. Did you ever have that you felt, okay, it's so unfair that I have to work twice as hard to prove that I'm worth it?
Of course, that crossed my mind, but it doesn't help you. So you always have to think, is it worthwhile working twice as hard? You don't have to be here. And it's just part of life, you know, part of our culture to work with bias, work with other ideas. So the thing is, if it gets to you, you can bring the best. And, you know, life is too short. Life is way too short to feel sour. So I'm always thinking of smart moves.
Yeah.
To turn it around. And the thing is, I'm thinking that COVID really helped women out there. I think we talked about it in our last podcast. But I feel digitalization really makes equal. Because people don't know how tall I am. No. I'm sitting behind a desk.
You're sitting behind a laptop. They can't see your size at all. No.
Exactly. And it really helps to level out because you look... Mm-hmm. Somebody else straight into the eyes.
Yeah.
So the first time I entered the office, and I was already a couple of months
working online,
So I worked was working 3 months for ABN AMRO, and then I visited the office. And the first they said was, "You are so small." Actually, quite funny. So yes. I think digitalization also helps to make things more equal. So think about that when you have a job interview. Say you have a cold and it helps.
Yeah. So these are some great tips that you're giving, you know, lessons learned from your mum to flipping the script, having real conversations with your partner. A lot of women still don't do that or don't dare to do that.
And do it before you are pregnant.
Yeah, do it before you're pregnant. But also, you know, ask for what you want. Make sure that you go out there and really ask for what you think would work for you.
Yeah.
And not being sour, I like that tip because, yeah, you know, it is very hard to create something magnificent from a place of negativity. So, yeah.
Exactly. And it makes you less creative. And the thing is, you know, at one point I had a severe accident with my motorcycle. I could have died that day.
You drive a motorcycle?
I did.
But not anymore. It's so heavy.
Yes, I know. So it was quite hard to find a motorcycle where I actually could touch the ground with my feet. But the thing is that that accident took like 1.5 years to recover from. And I could have died that day. So why waste time with sourness? Yeah. You know, the only thing we can do is do it differently and treat the people that you want. How you want to be treated, and we have to stop it somewhere. So I started stopping that behavior and tried to do something else and really help young women to do the same.
But I like the gamification thing that you were just talking about. Like, look at it from a game perspective. Like, you know, you can challenge it, you can kind of make a game out of it, and maybe because that creates an excitement, mm-hmm. a new way of. You know, because if you're entering a game, you've got to be strategic. You've got to be, you know, because you want to win the
game. My current game now is I count how many people, because we have to speak English a lot,
yeah.
But we're not good at it. So our language is a bit limited. And now I count the times that people say, hey guys, hey guys, hey guys, guys, okay guys, thank you guys, thank you for the meeting guys. And I'm always trying to swap that around. I count it, and then when I in a party of a lot of guys and somebody says, hey guys, and I leave the meeting early and say, okay, bye girls, just to have some fun, just to show that it's not necessarily normal to be called a guy.
Yeah,
one of the guys. Maybe that's also a sort of inclusivity, but it feels a bit different. Yeah, sometimes just make fun about it and have fun.
So what do you need to be your truest self in the workplace? You know, what's an environment that you can really thrive in?
The thing is, I think trust is really important. Trust you can do the job. And that
so you need to feel trust from your...
Yeah, and that you get room leaders. To do it your way. So my tip there is always be very clear on the targets you commit to, but you don't commit on the how, because the how creates the room for your unique capabilities. You decide on the how, and management doesn't care about how. They care about the outcome. So it helps you to create room for yourself. And yeah, sometimes it's being a bit bold. The thing is, I only have brothers, older brothers. So I'm used to ask for what I want. Otherwise, they would not hear me.
Did you have to be stronger sometimes than you felt?
Yeah.
Because I have brothers too. Because that comes from having, you know, being the only girl in the family.
Yeah. You have to, because we had a lot of discussions at the table. And the great thing for them was to make me cry. Yeah, when I didn't know how to answer certain things.
I guess so, that was a game again.
Yeah, it was also sort of game. It really made me aware to be a bit more bold. Then again, I think in the first part of my career, I was more masculine because
you were copying behavior.
I didn't show my emotions that much. And it took me really some time. I think it was between 30 and 40 becoming a mother to show more my emotions. So at one point, one of my team members said, oh, she's human as well. So it took some time to get rid of the all male approach and become myself.
I so recognize that. It was 37 for me. So we're on this road of self-discovery, right?
Definitely, yeah.
And self-reflection. Does it happen to, do you think it happens to a lot of women between the ages of 30 and 40?
I think so, because I think...
But I didn't have children. So for me, that was never the breaking point.
Ah, but I think it's mainly also due to the fact that you already have accomplished
a lot
in your life, and you feel more confident, and you can be more self-aware and think, okay, you know, I know how this works. You know, this will be okay. I don't have to pick up this fight right now. So you get more at ease with yourself, more mature.
And maybe you trust yourself more.
Yeah.
The trust thing that you were talking about is also an internal trust, because you've done it more. Mm-hmm. You've done it, like you said, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't need to pick a
trust the process.
Yeah, I don't need to pick this battle. Pick
exactly.
A different one. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's more age and also experience related. And at that time, I got a mentor within an organization, which was a male mentor, by the way. But it also helped me to see, to look from his perspective, being a board member, how they look at things.
Yeah.
And it really helped me to look through his eyes at my own perspective and thinking, why am I worrying so much? Why am I putting so much energy in this? I could do with half of the energy exactly accomplishing the same. So it really
It's like
helped
what
me.
Your mom did with the you know,
exactly.
The stuff in the kitchen and the whatever.
Delegate everything you can.
Make it efficient.
Make it
efficient. And that's what the man, you know, that mentor was teaching you. You can make it much more efficient. So what advice would you give? Is that something that you would give as an advice to women who are struggling to come, you know, to come into their own, and to, because, you know, from the age of 30, you're really coming to your own. You're becoming more of your own woman.
Mm-hmm.
Get a mentor, get people around you who do it differently so they inspire you maybe?
Well, they help you see different perspectives. And I think women are hard workers. And men are more hard talkers. And if you combine the both and do a little
you're
less...
You just say that men are full of bullshit.
No, I didn't say that. Those are your words. I know. So, no, definitely not. I think they're sometimes way more handy and practical than we are in really looking at, you know, this is what I accomplished. Mm-hmm. We as women tend to say what we didn't accomplish. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't meet that target, but the other ones are there. And men say, okay, I reached this target. It was really difficult, but I managed. But I had to let go of two of the other targets. But yeah, you know, it's a different way of bringing the same message.
It. Yeah, definitely. I love that. So when you look back at your career and, you know, you take the time to talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her? What was the advice that you would give her? What is the advice that you would give her?
Don't worry too much.
Really? You worried a lot?
I was constantly thinking of new methods to get to the next step and worry about it if I would succeed. And I think less worrying would have at least given me more sleep. And because you worry way more of how people look at you, while most people are only looking at themselves and not, they are not, you know, looking at you like, oh no, what is she doing? It's only 5% that is seen by others. So yeah, if I knew that on beforehand, I could have chilled way more.
Is that limiting belief? Is that like, you know, we're worrying about...
Yeah, probably.
What would other people think? Or
yeah, but I think when you're younger, it's really important what others think of you because you're depending on them giving you the chances.
Yeah.
And when you grow older, you have the ability to create the chances for other people and you're way more aware what's important and what's not so important. So it's also part of, you know, maturing, growing up. And I think both men and female have those limited thoughts. But I think a bit more relaxing time.
So looking back at your career, what do you think was your biggest limiting belief?
Well, yeah, I think I have many. But the one that comes to mind immediately is that when you have kids, people don't grant you a career. It's also because I had a boss who said, okay, check with every candidate if they already have it in order at home. And I thought if it was clean or not. But what he meant was, do they already have kids? Because otherwise they will have, you know, pregnancy, maternity leave for 16 weeks in a row. And we can't have that. So I think 20 years ago, most people didn't even know I was a mother. And my kids now are 23 and 20. And, well, even talking to you now, I feel it's way more in balance. And it's really not the case that you can't have a career or people don't grant you a career. It's that one conservative manager that I met that planted that idea in my head. And currently, I always say, oh, please, you know, let's hire young people who also want to become a parent, a father or a mother. Because if they can have the right combination of career and work, it really creates loyalty to our business. So I think it's totally the other way around. So I would like to say to everybody who's now having kids or thinking of kids, it's really not limiting. It's you know, I think it makes you a better person at the workplace because you prioritize better, because you want to be at home earlier to see your kids.
So you're more efficient, like your mom taught you.
You are way more efficient. And I think also within my trade, digitalization, it helps you to keep up to speed because, you know, your children are way more developed on the digital era, in the digital era
than you
are.
So they keep you up to date on what's happening.
Definitely. So
do you have a TikTok dance yet, Yurisa?
I have one.
I left it
at that desk.
It didn't work out.
I thought it was really a success, but my children were laughing their pants off.
Like, Mom, don't quit your day job.
No, don't go there.
So my last question then, and I ask this to everybody. I love this question. It's my favorite one. Here it comes. What do you want to be known for? What do you think people should say when they hear your name?
She was there for me.
And why?
Because I feel that I can move the needle way more, helping others to be their best version, because I'm only one. But if I can start the motor for way more people, that will move the needle.
Love that. Thank you so much for this beautiful conversation, Yurisa Neutelings. And I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm calling you again in a year's time.
Yes, let's do that. Thank you.
Thank you.